But I think what it reminds us is that whenever the world is involved, at the end of the day, there will always be some kind of pressure, some kind of stress. Wherever brokenness is involved, there will be a pressure and a stress. And that's why it's good this morning to remind ourselves of Jesus' words. And I read from Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says these things. He says to his disciples, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so today we are dedicating, in a way, this time together to remind ourselves that in the middle of the stress of lockdown, the stress of the pandemic, in the middle of the stress that we're seeing all around us that is obviously there, Jesus says, in a time like this, in a world like this, come to me. Embrace me. Hold on to me. And I will give you rest. Let's join with joy together around the word as Anne now comes to lead us on the Sabbath. Thank you, Anne.
Thanks, Ray. Good morning, everyone. Really nice to see you today and to be with you. Thank you, East Hill, for hosting Renewal today. And it's been a really special time thus far. And just this theme of Sabbath, I think it may find resonance with most of us in some way or another. I was thinking about why it's highlighted for me at the moment. And it goes back to my birthday, which was a while ago, at the beginning of September. And I got given a very significant gift on my birthday. It wasn't a gift that I could take in my hand and unwrap. It was a gift that was a concept in my mind. And it was a very dear and valued friend who spoke to me about what they called the best life. The best life. And it was a concept that, you know, sometimes things just stick in your minds. Well, that concept just found a place in my mind. I've never thought about that, it being called that before. I've often thought about Jesus's fullness of life, but I've never termed it the best life before. And it made me wonder, what are the components of the best life? The best life that God has for each and every one of us. And so far, I believe that God has shown for me two things. Firstly, the quality of righteousness. That righteousness is a component of any best life. And now it's kind of brought me on to the concept of rest and of biblical Sabbath rest. That if we want to experience God's best life, the fullness of life, then Sabbath and Sabbath rest is something that we have to take on board and be serious about and understand, I think, and understand. Because there's different levels. Back in the day, when I was at Bible college, which was about 100 years ago, then people used to be unconsciously assessed for their spirituality by what they did on a Sunday. If you did essays on a Sunday, you weren't as spiritual as people who didn't do essays on the Sunday, because Sunday was for God's word and for church and for other things. But if you were so kind of disorganized that you had to do essays on a Sunday, you kind of, you're not so sure about kind of levels of spirituality. And judgmental. There used to be a judgmental aspect towards what we do on Sundays. That's one level of Sabbath. And I'm going to ask Claire to share about that when I've just explained this. But then there's a whole, that's just the entrance to a whole world, a whole lifestyle of Sabbath. Because ultimately, Sabbath is not about one day a week. Sabbath is about a way of life. And Ray's going to bring an example, an illustration of that later. So in terms of Sabbath and what we do on Sabbath, Claire, can I just ask you to share now? Sorry, I'm looking down on my screen. You're down here. Can I ask you to share, you know, your illustration of someone who's prepared to keep the Sabbath even when people are suggesting they don't and they may seem to lose through it?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Hi, good morning, church. I hope everyone can hear me. I explained to the group, we had a Bible study on Friday, and we were talking about the Sabbath and the examples of that. And I explained to the group that when I was living in Barbados just very recently, I used to go and visit a cafe, and it was run by... it was a couple and their children, and they were very spiritual. It was a beautiful cafe, had lots, just as soon as you entered, it was just very peaceful, just lovely, lovely spiritual people, sold, you know, amazing food. And, you know, it's very popular, very, very popular place. It got very, very busy. And, you know, people was encouraging them to open 7 days a week, but they were like, they said like, no, we have to have a Sabbath, and you know, we're gonna stick to that. And you know, though they could have opened and have potentially made a lot of money, because they were so busy, you know, you'll try and get a spot, and you know, there were, you know, you could never get one because they were just so full up. But what I admired about them is the fact that they totally did not open on 2 days. They totally they kept the cafe closed. And I got speaking to the wife, and she said to me, you know, we really believe in the Sabbath, and we believe that, you know, if you honor the Sabbath and honor you know what God has said, you know, we will be rewarded. And quite interestingly, over in Barbados, we had a 24-hour lockdown. So you weren't allowed to go out for an hour. You weren't allowed to go and exercise. You had to stay in your house 24 hours. And that really, it did hit businesses. Even when they reopened, it was hard. But this cafe, when they opened, they were even more busy. And I think they were surprised, and people, you know, that were going, the patrons, they were surprised as well. And I you know, I gave that some thought, and I just thought to myself, I just wondered, because they honoured the Sabbath and they still refused to open because, you know, their Sabbath was very close to their hearts. I wondered then if that was God's way of saying, well, if you honor me, I will honor you. Yeah. And, you know, till the day I left, they were still really, really busy. You know, people were encouraging them to open up, you know, open up, make more money, get more people in. And they just said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to stick to our Sabbath. We will have our days of rest. And to this day, I speak to my friends, they're still really busy.
Hey, thanks, Claire. Yes. An example of people who believed in the Sabbath and who stuck to their guns, who flourished as a result of it. a couple living the best life, enjoying the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath. And so that's kind of one level of Sabbath understanding. But maybe we can just look back a bit at where Sabbath comes from. Who was the original Sabbath keeper? Anyone tell me? Who was the original Sabbath keeper?
Yeah, God.
Right, that's right. God was the original Sabbath keeper. If you turn to Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2 is the heart of our Sabbath understanding. And whenever the Sabbath is mentioned throughout many of the scriptures, it goes back to Genesis 2, verse 2. Would someone like to read Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3?
I can read it.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So God is not just the first being to take a rest. He's the first being we read who worked. Mm-hmm. Work and rest come together, and God kind of models it here. After his, what work was God doing during this time?
That was the creation.
Creating, that's right. Yeah, the work of creation. He was making, creating heaven and earth and producing this vast array of the universe. Absolutely amazing. And then on the seventh day, his job is done. The work is done and God rests. And he doesn't just rest on the seventh day, he then takes the seventh day and does something special with it. Something that is fundamental to everything that was to come. Something that is fundamental to the rhythms and seasons of all human life that is to come. I think this is the first creation ordinance. The second one is for marriage, but that's later on in Genesis 2. Here, God blesses the seventh day, and he makes the seventh day holy.
Mm.
So he establishes the seventh day as holy, because he rested. Mm. See, was God tired, do you think? Did God rest because he was tired?
Yeah.
Do you think God gets tired? Well,
no. No, no.
Maybe that's a discussion for another day. Maybe that would be quite an interesting discussion as to whether God gets tired. But whatever it was, he paused.
Yeah.
I think my way of seeing the Sabbath at the moment is a pause. It's a pause to stop, and God was able to consider.
Mm.
The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were able to sit down at the first ever Sunday lunch and were able to review the work that they'd done during that week.
Yeah.
I think the Son would have said, "Whoa, look at those dolphins swimming." And the Father would have said, "Ah, but look at here, listen to those lions roaring." And the Spirit would have said, "But see the eagles soaring." And they would have had time to review what they've done as God in creating the heaven and the earth. They were able to reflect on the work of the week, and they were able to take it in. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of seeing Sabbath as a pause. It reminds me of the Selah in the Psalms. You know the Psalms? Every so often, I think about 73 times, at the end of a line, there's a little word, Selah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a sailor space is a pause. It's a pause so that you can think about what has just been said, so that you can have a moment of mindfulness and just consider the truth that's just been expressed. Because sometimes in our world, in wanting to rush on and get something done, we miss the fullness. We miss the fullness. And sometimes it's like we're on an express train and you rush from London to Edinburgh in, what, 2-3 hours? But you never get to see the country that you're passing through. You miss it. Whereas if you were to walk or take a donkey or a bike, it would be hard work, I grant you, but you would get so much more out of that journey. Now, our lives, to get the fullness out of them, to have the best life, we need to have pauses. And I believe that a Sabbath is like a pause, so that we can see all that there is, so that we can really take in what we've just been through, so we can feel it, so we consider it and mull over it in our minds, so that we can live in it and have the fullness of that experience, so that we can see all of what there is. Sometimes we miss it because we're rushing so much. There's power in the pause. We need to remember that. There's power in the pause. And for, I think that Sabbath understanding and Sabbath observation is like a pause and an example of a sailor space. And I've been a Christian for 50-odd years. I've been a pastor for probably nearly half that time. And I've never before understood how much the Sabbath matters to God. How committed God is to Sabbath. And it's only since I've got this concept in my head, the best life, what does that mean? It's about Sabbath rest. I've looked, and we, as Claire said, we've been looking at rest in our Bible study. So God invented it. God established Sabbath. And then he became part of the Ten Commandments, didn't it? Charo, I wonder if you could read Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Thank you.
Yes. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed.
Bless you. Thanks, Charo. The Sabbath day commandment is the longest commandment there is. But it doesn't actually go into too much detail about what you should do on the Sabbath. What does it basically say? It's not about what you should do. It's about what you shouldn't do, isn't it? And what you shouldn't do is what you're doing the rest of the week. What you do the rest of the week, your work, your regular routine, everyday routine, you do something different on the Sabbath. You rest from that, what you do the rest of the week, as it were. But there's no particular prescription on what you should do. It's very interesting, and I've only just noticed that this morning, if you turn to Exodus 31, we find that God makes a separate covenant with the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments are part of God's covenant agreement with his people. God's saying, you're my people, I'm your God, you keep these rules and I'll have your back. But if you turn to Exodus 31, Jennifer, are you there? Could you read verses 12 to 17, please? I don't know if Jennifer got that one. Okay, if not, I'll read it. Exodus 31.
Verse, oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did you get my message?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I'll read it anyway.
Okay, Exodus
31. 12
to 17.
12 to 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for the 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant.
That's right.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed.
Thank you, Jennifer. God's not messing with the Sabbath.
No.
What was the punishment for not keeping it?
Death.
Death. Toast. Yeah. You became toast if you did not keep the Sabbath. And what God says here is that it's a special something between him and his people. You know, it's a special something. When you're special to someone and you've got a special something with someone, you have your little things between you. And this is a special something between God and his beloved people. And he says to be a perpetual covenant. Anybody know what perpetual means? I struggled. What's perpetual?
Forever.
Thank you. It means forever, apparently. So this is not just something temporary. It's not Old Testament law. This is forever, like the rainbow. It's forever. It's part of the covenant between God and his people. Something special between you. And it's a weekly reminder of who you are and of whose you are. That every week, if you have this special some day, then that reminds you you belong to God and God belongs to you. It reminds you of the covenant. Because when we live in the world, we're in danger of forgetting. But the Sabbath is a weekly reminder of who we are, of who God's people are. And it's thus built into our lifestyle. And so that's important to remember. And as it says, that the penalty for not observing it is death. In Numbers 15, we won't look at it, there's not time, but Numbers 15, there's a little story of a man who went to collect a few sticks of firewood on the Sabbath. The Israelites found him. They weren't sure what to do with him. They asked God. What did God say? Stone him. Kill him. Whoa. God's not messing with the Sabbath. He's really not. And there's a whole host of references. But I just want you to turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. And I've asked Claire to read verses 12 to 16. Because this shows something of the heart of God at what can be done to his Sabbath. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 to 16. Thanks, Claire.
Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sacrifices them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them. But I acted for the sake of my name, and it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land that I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols.
Thanks, Claire. Thank you. God's really upset there.
Mm.
You can feel it, can't you?
Yeah.
He's really upset that these guys, his people walking through the desert, they didn't trust his ways, and they desecrated not the Sabbath, they desecrated, he says, my Sabbath.
Mm.
And he reminds them, this is the sign we had between us. This is our little thing we did together.
Mm.
If you're not doing it together anymore, what does that say about your love for me?
Mm.
Well, actually, it doesn't say very much, does it? And so God was really upset. And I think the key is at the end of verse 16. Their hearts were devoted to their idols.
Mm.
Their hearts were devoted to their idols.
Mm.
And maybe a keeping of the Sabbath or a recognition of Sabbath rest is about our heart, how our hearts are. And it's not just about it's not just about keeping the rules. It's not external. It's an internal expression of our love for God. If you've got special friends, as I said, and you've got this special something between you that you do ritually every week or every day or every year or every Christmas, and then one time it doesn't happen, the inference is that someone's losing their love. And that's how God sees this. That's how God sees this, and in particular, the desecration of his Sabbath. When Jesus comes along, just briefly, we'll flip through. When Jesus comes along, Jesus uses the Sabbath to bless. Jesus uses the Sabbath to bring life, the best life to people. Jesus, because by the time Jesus comes, there's this whole manner of man-made rules and regulations that have surrounded the Sabbath. And the Sabbath has become a bit like lockdown rules. You don't really know where you are. You're terrified of breaking them because you don't know what they are. It depends where you live. It depends where you are. It depends who you are, how old you are. So it's very confusing. And the Sabbath rules were very much like that. They were very strict. And if you've watched The Chosen, that fantastic series, you remember that some of the Jews in Galilee were guilty of breaking the Sabbath by going fishing. And Simon Peter was going to, he was going to snitch on them, to be honest. But I'll leave that to you to watch The Chosen and find out. But they were breaking the Sabbath because of all the rules around it. But Jesus used the Sabbath to bring healing and fulfillment. And he says those wonderful words, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to be flexible, to be able to be accommodated in how it's observed by each generation of human beings, so that it can fulfill its purpose to bring rest to bring a pause, to bring a time to reflect on the Lord and to give God glory. And we're told in Colossians 2, verse 7, Jesus fulfills the Sabbath. That the Sabbath, the other feasts, the new moon, the atonement, the Passover, they're not the reality. Colossians 2, verse 17. These festivals, these feasts, this Sabbath are a shadow of things to come. The reality is found in Christ, in Christ. And so Jesus fulfills the Sabbath when he says, come unto me, all you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest, because in him is the ultimate Sabbath rest. Because the Sabbath is just a glimpse of God's best life. And God's best life is not just for here and now, but we can experience here and now. And when we come to Christ, when we enter into the condition of living in Christ in the heavenly realms with him, then we experience God's Sabbath rest. You have to turn to Hebrews 4 for that. It's a long Bible study. But Hebrews 4, there's a fantastic verse, just one verse. If you've got a few hours, you can look at Hebrews 3 and 4. But if we look at Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that Sabbath rest is not just a day where you can have a nice meal with your family and friends and go to church. It's a way of life. Because Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath concept, then we can enter into the Sabbath rest in this life. It's a glimpse of eternity, of how our lives will be in heaven. And that's the best life with a capital B. But the best life here, we can enter into it in Christ. And as we live in Christ and fulfill the conditions that God has set for us, the instructions that God has given us, as we learn to live and observe Sabbath, then we will experience that rest in him. We will experience that rest. But I think we need to know what it is that stops us. What is it that stops us? What is it in our society that about 30 years ago we legalized shops opening on Sunday so that businesses could have another day to take money and to build up their capital wealth? What is it? Well, the answer to that is it's disbelief. It's a lack of trust. You see, a secular society believes it has to manage itself. A secular society doesn't think it can lean on anyone. It likes to stand up by itself. It believes it only has itself to look after itself. There's no God to provide for us. There's no trust in a living God who's got our backs. A secular society doesn't believe that. And so a secular society has to make its own way. It has to make its business work. And so the more often the shops are open, simplified, the more money it can make. It takes no notice of the word of God or the heart of God that says, guys, you need a day a week to do something different. You need a day a week to pause. If you want to stay sane and if you want to have the best life, you cannot just work 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You don't work like that. You need a break. And the Sabbath is our break. But if we don't trust God's word and we think we've got to do and catch up on the Sabbath with everything that we haven't done on our to-do list, then we're not trusting in God. And that was a sad thing about the Israelites, that we're told in Psalm 95 95, yeah, Psalm 95. They didn't enter his rest because they disbelieved. They disbelieved in God. They didn't trust that God had their back. They didn't trust that God would provide for them. They didn't trust that God would make a way for them. And so they desecrated his Sabbath. My friends, it's really made me think, this Sabbath business and this rest business. God provides. When we live in Christ, we have entered into his Sabbath rest to have a foretaste of how the best life will be in eternity. He's given us time to rest because he knows we need this. But we need to be ready to receive it. We need to be ready to lean. Sometimes we're very independent, we don't like leaning. But we've sung, leaning on the everlasting arms, because God's got us. We're leaning on God, and that's the best way for us to live. So let's do our Sabbath. And when we do our Sabbath well, we will have the best life. And if you want a picture of the best life, it says it in Isaiah 58. If you keep my Sabbath, there will be a joy. You do not go your own way, you go God's way. Isaiah 58 verses, let me finish with this. Isaiah 58, if you call the Sabbath a delight and honour it by not going your way, you will find your joy in the Lord, and he will cause you to ride on the heights of the land. May we ride on the heights of the land as we find our rest in God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And what an amazing study. I loved the thought, the big idea, if you will, of power in the pause at every level coming through, and how important that is to the Lord. In the whole depth of today's study, we loved it. We appreciated the depth of the word today. Thank you so much. May God bless you. And so just before we close with our final hymn, I was sharing with Anne as we were preparing for this a story of how God does give us rest and does provide a Sabbath for us if we come to him and lean on him. Come unto me and I will give you rest, he says. And very often in life we struggle and life is hard work. Life is a struggle at times. But what we never should take our eyes away from is the fact that God will give us rest in the middle of that struggle. And up until a couple of months ago, I was sharing how my precious mother-in-law was very frail and lived quite far away from where we are in Guildford. And we needed to go out to her quite regularly. We had a sort of family oversight of her, where we would have a rota and one of us would be out there all the time traveling. And Judy would go out often and be with her precious mom. He was becoming more and more frail. And eventually then mom went into hospital and the hospital said, look, she's got to go into a nursing home now. She can't go back to her flat. And would you like her to go to an area near where the flat was? And Judy said, well, we live in London. It's quite a long way out. And we were getting a bit worn out by the traveling, I suppose, and the distance. And she and Jude said, if there's any way you could get her a bit closer. And we were thinking maybe because she was in Surrey, closer to the M25, somewhere a bit closer. That would just help us. And we didn't know. And they said they would look into it. But we just trusted the Lord and we were very grateful for the NHS and their tremendous love and support for Jude's mom. And then one day, not long after, as the hospital were getting ready to let Jude's mom go, they phoned to Jude and said, look, we found a nursing home. And it turned out to be a very precious nursing home almost just 2-3 minutes drive from where Judy works, a stone's throw from where we live, and a lovely, lovely nursing home that couldn't be more of a blessing to us and to Mom. And we realized that was not just that didn't happen. We didn't strive for it. We didn't ask for that particular nursing home. We would have loved to have asked. We didn't even dare to dream. But the Lord opened a way in which Mom could come close to us and provided us with rest as well at the same time. And it was so precious. It was just so amazingly precious to us. And we thank God for his provision. But that is how that's just how it is when the Lord when we come to him and he gives us rest. And we, all of us, will find that blessing, that open door, that rest when we come to him. So as we close today, let us close with that beautiful hymn, Lord and Father of Mankind. And let us reflect on all that we've heard as we close before we share in the word. And we say, God bless you all for being with us today and for all those who have contributed. May God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.